How are you today? That's not convincing. It's look like there's a war coming and you're afraid to go into the war. How are you doing today? Amen. Let us rise to our feet. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before you as your children this morning. Not that we deserve it, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, you justify us, you sanctify us, and present us as sacrifices, living sacrifices, acceptable to God. And Father, we know that this morning we are accepted before you. That gives us a confidence. That gives us the power, not because of the power that we have, but the power through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, to live a victorious life this morning, stand before you as children, Father, with our sword drawn in our hand. We love you, Father. Give us, Father, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, Father God. Oh Lord, to take your word, Father God, and hand it out there. We love you, Father. Be with us. Open our hearts. Lord, use me, Father God, as your tool. Father God, as it pleases you, Father, to divide the word that for today, for this Sunday school. Thank you, Lord. We commit all to your hands. Bless us. Bless the heart. Father God, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so quickly, let's take Colossians. So happy to be back again for this series. So, you know, as a child of God, when you want to follow, Christ, and you want to make sure you are in His will, He has, you know, a daily bread for you for that day, and many times have our plans, but when the time comes, God will let you go in your plans. But as you listen to that still voice, when the time comes, he show you, this is my plan. Amen? And we see that many times the prophet. And we're still going to walk through the word of God. I was going to do something on Genesis today, but as I begin to study, the Lord changed my thoughts, and I understand why, and begin to show me many things. So today, and the next service coming, today we are going to talk about the valley of decision, the bride in the valley of decision. All right, the bride in the valley of decision, but it's still part of the series. All right, so let's read our first scripture in Colossians 1. All right, let's start from verse 9. Colossians 1, start from verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the, now follow the word, knowledge of what his will, how in all wisdom and what spiritual understanding. I really would like you to pay attention to those three words, all right? Because that's where I'm going to be dwelling a lot today, okay? That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto what? All pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Those three things, all right? Strengthen with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of the of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Amen. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You may be seated. The next scripture I'm going to take. So today, we are going to be doing a lot of deep diving. All right? Deep diving. And if we don't finish today, we continue the deep exploration next Sunday. All right? 2 Timothy 2:14 to 15. 2 Timothy 2:14 to 15. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about word to no profit. I want you to pay attention to that. About word to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. The word that subverts. You know what subvert means? Ruin, undermine, subvert. It does not contribute to nothing. All right? And I was really trying to read a little bit history. At that time, there was a lot of heresy, things, confusion began to creep in the church. And Paul was trying, if you want, you can read a little bit on above. I don't have, for time's sake, I won't want to read above. Begin to creep in, just the same setting that the bride, where we are today, where heresy, different things. I just found out there's a book written that came out this year, I think April somewhere, very bad about the message. When things like this begin to come, all right, that's just the same scenario where we are. If Branham were alive today and can write to us, and he said, we write something just like that. Because he said, I preach the gospel that Paul preached. He'll be sending to us here, okay, before the Lord, that the strive not after about word to no profit. He will tell us, don't even go taking quote of things that I preach to make it of no profit, subverting minds. Amen? 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Okay, so so I'm not sure if I share with you the burden that I have, that I had when I started the series before. I don't think I did. What made me begin to go about this, and so that will also explain to you certain things I'll be saying, I'll be bringing in my teaching. You see, you as a minister, we don't just want to, especially at this time that we are in, you don't want just to come here, say, okay, it's my time for Sunday school, I'm here, I have to just bring a lesson, okay, and I go home, say, check. November 4, 2018 was my turn, check, done. Okay, now I'm waiting for November 11, come. No. The time is late. We want to take deep diving and analyze ourselves. Look ourselves in the mirror. All right? That's where I'm coming from. And let me give you a little background. Okay, I was going to read something, but I will read it next time because I would like to get to some place today. So, for some times now, since last year, I have been very desperate. And I couldn't find anything rest with myself. And I have been praying a lot. And God began to show me certain things. God began to show me, okay, I'm sharing this with you, the difference between being blessed and enjoying God's blessings. All right? Now, we think just because God loves us, God can bless you, but you can't enjoy that blessing. All right, brother Charles, will explain a little bit further. Look, God can bless you a beautiful home, but you're in a hospital. Are you enjoying that? No. God bless you with everything. You have a son out in the world, or daughter out in the world, or in jail somewhere. Are you enjoying? You are not enjoying, right? God can give you everything. God can even give you good health. But you're always thinking, what am I going to do? I want this one. I want that one. Okay. Are you enjoying that good health? You're not enjoying it. God can give you good health, but you're fearful about everything. Oh, something's going to happen. What's going to happen? You are not living a victorious life in Christ. Amen? Now, the Lord began to show me, before you can enjoy God's blessings, amen, you have to find your purpose. Once you find that purpose for which he sent you here on earth, amen, and then you find yourself in the Lord's Prayer, thine will be done in me as it is in heaven. Amen. Then what follows that? Give me this day my daily bread. When you find yourself, when you find to that groove where you see that now God's will be done in you as it is in heaven, then what happens is that as you walk every day, we get up, give me this day my daily bread. And then what happened? And then it takes you to where he says, if you do not take your cross daily, he didn't say take it one time and then leave it. If you do not take your cross daily, then that brings us back into our Lord's Prayer. Give me this day the bread that before the foundation of the world you have given as my statue, because my life is a law in your book. Amen. And is written. God, what chapter am I supposed to be in? Amen. What verse of the law? Amen. What article of the law am I supposed to be living at this time, at this precise moment? That what becomes the life of a Christian. Amen? Amen. Now, when we are called by the revelation of the mysteries that a prophet brought, that brought us, then we became Christians, and feel the Holy Ghost, when you feel the Holy Ghost, right? And then you take your cross and you begin to live. And Christ said, if you do not take your cross daily and follow after me, you have no part with me. So that means if you don't take that cross, you have no part with him. All right? Now, take the scriptures now, okay? So, how do you have victorious life in Christ? You have that victorious life in Christ, or you have part with him. But you see, when he died on the cross, when he said it is finished, that's a package that we call the redemptive blessings. All right? And that's what Brother Branham is explaining. When the beetle went to Australia, whatever, people get up and walk. People will say, oh, look. But when Christ died for the world, there is a redemption. You know, look, let's go back to Brother Branham's vision. When Brother Branham had a vision in that restaurant in Ohio, what did he see? He see a world turning, the blood of Christ was circling that world. And each time there's something going, that blood served like what? Like a bumper. So when Christ died for the world, that gave us, right? The right, you can reach into that freely and accept that. That's what they call a redemptive blessing, the atonement. The atonement, he died. Amen? He was wounded for our transgression. Amen? He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement, I was reading that word in Hebrew, the chastisement of our sin fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen? Amen? Somebody can come from the street, the Buddhist say, oh, I pray, I heal. You focus on that gift, you tap into that gift. All right? And that's what Brother Brown was explaining. It's not that they heal anybody. It's your faith to tap into that redemptive blessing give you a heal. But that doesn't make that you're going to rapture anything like that. Okay? So, now the redemptive, so that's the blessings, or the redemptive blessings. Okay? But now, as a son of God, you can't enjoy those blessings until you find a purpose that God has for you. You can enjoy your family, you can enjoy nothing. You're blessed, you have them, but you're not going to enjoy them. So, like I said, there'll come a time I begin to say, God, I need more than what I have. I need more than this. Going to church is not something that, it's not I want to go, but it's not, I need more than just that. And God began, and Brother Bram said, when you get to desperation, when it's a matter of life or death to you, that bring God on the scene.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself here. You see, many of the quotes that are supposed to edify us are also killing us. Brother Bram said, explain that. For example, oh, God, you hear Brother Bram say, God cannot save you and lose you. Oh, I'm done. I'm saved. But then go to desperation. Why talk about desperation? Why would God make Brother Bram preach desperation? Brother Bram said, take desperation to bring God on the scene. Oh, you know what? You can say, well, oh, I'm going to rapture. My name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You take that quote. Become complacent. Oh, I know I'm going. But then go read the spirit. Go read token. So the same quote that God sent to a prophet to edify us by lack of wisdom and understanding, those same quote are destroying us. And those same quote are putting in the seat of laziness. All right? So last year, really, I began to really seek really. And God began to walk with me, and then God began to tell, you know, show me, being blessed doesn't mean you're enjoying those blessings. All right? It's not a man that you have is enjoying them. Amen. Then I began to pray more in that sense. It's like God showed you that direction. Now, praying this way, I begin more to pray. I begin to find the directions. And obviously, from there, God began to show me way back, now going back, you know, to my life and all that, said one thing that he really liked me to do with all this, you know, knowledge of language and all that, I can speak, I can get to know people's culture, and easily can take me somewhere, drop me in less than 15 minutes, I'm with the people as if I was born there. It was to begin to have heart for the people, okay? Go after that 99, and that's when I came home, and that one, forget 99, that's when I came home that day. I remember my son Joshua, October. I went immediately, I prayed, say God, and that's when I found immediately, I said, I'm going to Tanzania. And you can feel, the minute I said, I'm going to Tanzania, is like now God opened the floodgates. All right? Things was changed from there. But still, when I came back from Tanzania, I saw many things happen. But I still want more. In June of this year, it was supposed to be around our wedding anniversary, our 27th wedding anniversary. But God put it on my heart. I got away. I went near Richmond in a state park. Take no food, no drink, no nothing. For about 2 days, because I want to seek God's face. I want to hear. All right? And there was a lake there called Beaver Dam Lake at the 21st. And I was studying mainly Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And God began to show me many things. And from there, I've been this message, well, almost 33 years. I begin to see the message different. When I say different, not a different message, but just what God wants you to see in this season. So this year, I was in Texas, and as I was praying, I was thinking about all the confusion. And I was thinking about all the confusion in the message. So that I'm laying this background so you can understand certain things I'll say, so you know where I'm coming from when I say them. I was in Texas for my work, a place called Sugar Land, and I came home and I was studying the message. Recognizing your day and this message. All right? Now, before I go there, let me read something here so I don't get ahead of myself. Now, There's nothing. I realize there's nothing I could do to accelerate the coming of the Lord. That's His. Okay? That's His. But however, even though there's nothing I could do, but God still wants us to get into certain condition, certain atmosphere, certain mindset. All right? Because those are the things that kills us. Oh, there's nothing I can do. It's all in God's hand. Brother Brown said, the gospel from my head, I hear it, that settles it, and then we go into complacency. That doesn't work with God. Study the history of the Bible. I'm studying the history of the Bible. Take me one person that God have commissioned that just sits, okay, God has commissioned, God will take care of it. God took the children of Israel from Egypt. Did he say, fine, sit down, fight Amalekite for you? When Moses was there, Moses' hands come now, they lose. You say, why? Why? Jehovah Rapha. Who told him I'm Jehovah Rapha? I'm Jehovah Nissi. And when Moses' hand go down, they're losing. Why they have to do anything? You see? God is supposed to just win all the battle because God has chosen. They're chosen people. And we are a chosen bride. Does that mean our hand should be all down? Our hand go down, we're losing the battle. You choose God. Brother Brown said, God is not going to change for us just because we are chosen people. God has law, God keeps his covenant, and God loves the people who keep his covenant. Amen? So, now, there's nothing we can do, but you have to be there. Now, let me read something here for you that Brother Bram said. Now, I believe that we are living in the last days, or otherwise the days that we are living in, should cause the church to go completely into desperation. 1963, 55 years ago, going to complete desperation. I believe since the message this morning from God, not me, I believe it ought to throw this entire congregation into desperation. That now, Brother Bram said here, that we have played long enough. We've went to church long enough. That's why I say I got to say I've gone to church long enough. I've been in this place for 35 years or 33 years. I've been to church long enough. Amen. And Brahma said, we got to do something. Yes, that's why I got to. I got to do something. Like I said, I know there's nothing I can do to accelerate the coming of the Lord. But this is what God speaking through his prophet for me. Amen. Amen. Now it's been 53 years since God took his messenger off the scene, right? 53, am I right? But not the Holy Spirit. And it's been very easy for believers to come to find comfort zones in the message. Amen? You see, great confusion begin to rise in the message. And we complain, oh, this happened, that happened, that happened. But God begins to make me to see a different way. All right? And that's what I want to share with you. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay? Pentecostalism is creeping into the message that Laodicea. The spirit of Laodicea is slowly taking over the message. Amen? Religious spirit is taking over. We are becoming religious. Just because I wear long red, I don't wear short, I don't smoke, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do that, becomes to become our norms. And we think just because I do those things, I'm going to rapture. Because I heard a quote that said, God cannot save you and lose you. But then you have to also check yourself, am I really saved? Amen? Because you can claim, if God saved me, he can't lose me. One question you have to claim, ask yourself, am I really saved to begin with? That's what we're going to do a deep dive in today. Okay? We are focusing on a signpost rather than a destination. Just because I pray I'm healed. Focusing on those signs. Look, when I'm going to Woodbridge and I get to Lawton, they'll tell me that exit, what was it, 168 or 164, whatever, Prince William Parkway is there. Can I say, oh, great, I have arrived? It's a sign pointing to where I'm going. But the bride begins, we are beginning to focus on the signpost instead of focusing on the destination where we're supposed to go. We are at the stage we're going to rapture. Amen. All right? Now, so in Texas, as I was praying, I listened to this. I came back and I was in my hotel room and listened to this recognizing. And Brother Brown hit this quote. It woke me up. Let me read it to you. Oh, you men in other lands, while you hear this tape, can't you wake up, my brother? Oh, or does it blind you? Will you throw this out and call it false prophecy? Today, everybody's calling that false prophecy. When you say, wait a minute, that's what everybody's saying today. It's false prophecy, false prophet, this and that. That's what's going on. But God began to wake me up. We call this false prophecy when it's vindicated right before you by the world, by the time, by the people, and the Holy Spirit who wrote it. It's vindicated both naturally, spiritually, materially. Everything that he said is fulfilled and proven. Now, it's like now God getting my attention now. Next paragraph, paragraph 75. Israel is in the homeland. By the grace of God, when we went to Israel, we were able this time to go in the hall where these people were gathered that day, that great day that they thought is between life or death, when they said the Declaration of Independence. Everything is still there, everything was there, like that. You see, then those things begin to come in my mind. All right? It's on a whole limb. And then the next thing Brother Bram said is what begin to God begin to give a wisdom understanding to understand. Drove them in there, herded them in there like sheep. The wolves got after her and ran their back to safety. Now, I'm going to share something with you again, please. Take it out of the context of politics, okay? But meantime, throughout your life, God will show you certain things that will help you later. In 2004, and I always say this, in 2004, there was think of politics, I'm just going to give a point, okay? There was a campaign going on between George W. Bush and Kerry. Every sign was pointed that Kerry was winning. But towards the end, there was an ad that came. And the ad, I don't know anybody who remembers that, the ad showed a prairie. Clean. But in the circumference of the prairie, you have woods. And they begin to play this music in minor key. You know, minor key, silent, and things, some danger coming. And all of a sudden, you see the wolves coming into the prairie. That fearful sight. I never forgot it. From there, the campaign changed. And when I read this, Brother Bram said, Israel and her homeland drove them. That now this had nothing to do with politics. That is me now beginning to see that action of wolves driving somebody. All right? The wolves coming. Now, herded them in there like sheep. The wolves got after her. And ran them back to where they didn't eat them up. Run her back to safety. God had to send wolves, not to devour them, not to kill them, but to run them back to safety. Yeah. I'm like, wow. Like I said, God will give you things in life, okay? Remember the fruits of the righteous are ordained. And I know at home I always say this thing to Joe. About this wolf coming, just, but that's where it's coming from. And then I'm like, you know what? Drove them back to safety. Now, brother, go to their own land. Own land. Remember, brother, said, remember, Israel is only promised to be blessed. That every single word brother said from there, from that point on, every single word means so much.
Remember, Israel is only promised to be blessed as long as she was in her land. Where's my land? Amen? Every word now, listen carefully. God never blesses Israel outside the land. And we are church spiritual. Israel is church natural. We parallel. Amen? Abraham, we are seed of Abraham. Abraham went outside the land. Was condemned. This is the man that said, you'll be father of all nations. Abraham can say, fine. I will be at ease in Zion. Abraham was condemned. Everyone that leaves the land is condemned. God only can bless Israel when she stays in her homeland. And she's there now as a nation. And then Abraham get here, and the church is called. She's just only waiting for the rapture. Amen? So when I read that, it quickly I said, then if that's the case, where's my land? I'm outside the land. That's, you see, that God has to help you because you have to think the right thing. I could say, oh Lord, help me, oh Lord, why bring all this confusion? Oh Lord, please help your bride to see. But no, that's not what God interested. God wants interested for you to have understanding, wisdom, understanding. It's not a question about throwing knowledge and throwing everything I know about the message out there. God wants me to focus. Where's my land? I'm outside the land. Okay? Now, so the Lord quickened to me to not be dismayed by the confusion. But I should thank God for that. Everybody say, Brother Marcel, wait a minute, you are thanking God for the confusion coming in the message? Yes, I'm thanking him for that. Are you thanking God for it? Yes, I am. Okay? Now, God told you, don't be dismayed by the confusion around you. That it is the wolves that will drive the church spiritual, the bride back to her homeland. The true word of God to know her message. Look, true believers will begin to dive into the word and the message and study their history. Amen. The bride, the church spiritual, parallel Israel, the church natural. You see, now if you know the confusion out there, you know someone at your work is going to bring something to you. You're not just going to go face him. You want to show that I'm a message believer. I want to bring this person to Christ. The person go there and say something. You don't already know nothing what he's saying about. You feel like, you just have to believe. You just have to believe. You don't have faith. Oh, you know what? If your men were not meant for you. That's not what Paul told Timothy to do. Study to show yourself approved of God. Amen. Don't just go say, you know, and the answer that now believers will do, it's not for you. You are not predestinated. Then you go, they are not predestinated. If they are predestinated, you know, they will know it. If God called, they will know it. That's a very lazy, easy answer. And that's what the bride, that's what we're going wrong. We don't study our word. Here, she yourself Amen. To know. Like, look, when I read this thing that this person wrote about Abraham, I can take everything down to the atom because I know this guy doesn't know the word. And many people in the message, oh, this set me free. They didn't know the word. They know what Abraham preached. They know no Bible. People, oh, I said this free. And then when you go out and face those people, what are you going to say? Are you just going to say, oh, you know what, I'm predestinated. Oh, you know, they're not for them. If you are not one of them, if they're one of them, they'll come. You know, if it's for them, they'll hear it. After you've done all what you can, you commit in the hand of God. Do your part. Amen. Study the word. Study the message. No, you do your part first before you make those type of statements. Amen. Don't just go out and throw things to people yourself without knowing the message and then say, if it's for them, it's not for them. Do your part first and pray. Fast and pray. And then you say, God, I've done what I can. It's all in your hands. Okay? And Brother Abraham said here, and there, when Israel was called out, a type of the church, Israel always was a type of the church. That was church natural. This is the church spiritual. They was called out. As soon as they were called out and they passed through the Red Sea, baptized to Moses, as soon as they come on the other side, they are baptized with the Spirit. Amen? So now, see here. Look, Brother Branham has to study the church history. Read different books. Went to libraries. Take dictionaries. Got his daughter Becky involved. They read all kind of things. Why? This is the man that got a commission from the angel. Take, you do this. Sign one, sign two, if they don't believe. Here it is. If you stay at ease in Zion, I got a commission, I'm just going to go. Why does he need to go to the library for? Why does he need to study? But you got to study. If he's coming to tie the loose ends, what are those loose ends that he has to tie? Do you think that God will just go and say, okay, now, sit here. I'll dictate to you every word you're going to preach. I'll dictate to every line, everything you're going to do. Just sit there. Just you be a typewriter. Just, no, God does not work that way. Amen. Amen? Okay, here's our example. All right? He's a prophet of the hour. Yes, sure, he was a prophet, but God had to show him the loose ends that he has to tie. But what happened to us is that, like I said, the very quote that was supposed to edify us, build the church, began to destroy it by lack of revelation, wisdom, understanding to properly apply the word of God. So today, I want to take the little time that we have here, I want to take time that we go over those three words. Now, what is knowledge? Knowledge is accumulation of facts and data that you have learned about or experienced. It's being aware of something and having information. Knowledge is really about fact and ideas that we acquire through study, research, investigation, observation, or experience. Knowledge is awareness, and you hear people say, knowledge is power, right? To gain knowledge, one has to spend time and effort to know things by reading. God said to Abraham, I had to read. I had to search. Something the Bible opened to, he had to read it. Amen? When God had to show something, put in the heavens, he still had to read it and gain that knowledge. He just didn't sit and then go, oh, I see a vision of everything I have. No, that never happened. Okay? He had vision. But that's not all the message that we get. Look at the seven seals. Have looked and studied. Take things. And then God, the Holy Spirit comes and say, no, not that one. No, not this one. God will correct him on the data that he has, the thing that he's learned. All right? So to get one has to spend time and effort to know things by reading, listening, seeing, experiencing, studying, and getting familiar with certain things. Without interest or passion, one can hardly acquire knowledge. So if you just come to church nonchalant, oh, I'm going to praise God. Oh, today I'm going to, without interest or passion, you're getting no knowledge. You come to church, the minister will preach, you make you happy, you get out, there's nothing, there's no revival, nothing, because you get no knowledge from it. Okay? All right, wisdom. Quickly, wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge which aspect of that knowledge are true, right, lasting, applicable to your life. It's the ability to apply that knowledge to the greater scheme of life. It also deeper, knowing the meaning or reason about knowing why something is and what it means to your life. Wisdom, the quality of having a good judgment based on knowledge. If knowledge is power, as they say, then wisdom is your choice to use or apply that power. Brother Abraham said a quote. You see, a situation happened between you and brother. Don't take Brother Abraham out of contest and just say that quote. You destroy instead of constructing. You're subverting the mind instead of constructing. You need wisdom to know. There's that knowledge. You having a quote, that's your knowledge. Because you read it, you have that knowledge. Now you have wisdom to know. Does that quote apply here? You need revelation. Does that quote apply here, yes or no? Amen? Okay, so wisdom is your choice to use or apply that power. To gain wisdom, one has to have knowledge first. I cannot just come here and not know nothing about the Bible, know nothing, I'm not reading my message, I don't know nothing. Obviously, God saved me. When he saved me, I'm supposed to be accredited. I cannot check, I'm the message, I don't read my message, I don't read nothing, I don't listen to the message, I don't read my Bible, I don't do anything, I don't pray, and I'm getting knowledge. Wrong. Amen? To gain wisdom, one has to have knowledge first, and then use conviction to make a good judgment out of that knowledge. Without strength, courage, and confidence to make a decision, one cannot get not wisdom. No matter how intelligent or knowledgeable a person is, if he cannot distinguish what is right or wrong, he cannot be considered a wise person. Right? You hear people are so intelligent, so smart, and they'll do something stupid, and you say, what? That person is so smart. They don't have wisdom. Amen? Quickly. All right, understanding. Understanding is the ability to understand one's knowledge and choices. Wisdom makes you make the differences. But how do I ever know before I can make those differences, I have to understand. I have to understand what's presented before I can make a choice. Wisdom helps you do that. But understanding is the ability to understand one's knowledge and choices. It is the realization of your decision. It is knowledge and wisdom put into action. If knowledge is power and wisdom is your choice to use that power, understanding is the execution of your choice to use that power. We develop understanding when we practice what we preach. To get understanding, one has to have both knowledge and wisdom first and put them into action. He has to know, make a choice, and then practice that choice he has made. Without practicing and executing one's knowledge and choice, he cannot really understand or realize them. In order to have wisdom, you have to walk your talk. You have to do what is right, not just know it or judge it. Understanding can help you become a more practical person. I know the message. I can make right or wrong, but I cannot cut my brother just like that. It makes you practical to understand when I try to make you practical. Amen? You see, Brother Branham, Billy Paul will give you a lot of example. Thing will come, and Brother Branham will say, but you say this to that person. What about the other person? Come. Brother Branham say, come completely different. He's not contradicting himself. Amen? Understanding. All right? But by lack of understanding is why the message, understanding, wisdom, and those things, that's why we got where we are today. All right? Now, understand we help you execute your choices to apply intelligence or whatever. Now, a Christian needs all three. And how do you get them? The Holy Ghost. When you come to Christ, you're almost done here. I'm going to continue next year. Next week. When you come to Christ, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? You're justified. Joy comes in. Light shines on your path. That's a ground that's cleaned up. Amen? Fertile ground. Do you leave the... Is a farmer going to leave the ground like that? I have a ground that the farmer has to do. Begin to put the seed. That's the knowledge. You say, I'm in a message. I begin to read, pray, understand. You begin to put the seeds there. Because when the sunlight comes, if the sunlight is just falling on the ground there, nothing's going to grow. Amen? It's just a fertile land. When you put the seed, that's a noise. Bring to put the seeds in it. Amen? You begin, we are going to continue this next time. You begin to put the seed. And when the Holy Ghost comes, it strikes. It begins to strike that seed. Even when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that's not the end. You start to walk with God. Take your cross daily. So the light, okay? You see, you have plenty. Don't say, oh, I have plenty, I'm done. That's just a season. You have to replant. Amen. Replant. Amen. Even the bulb that comes every year, the sun still has to strike that and it comes up. Amen. Amen? I'm learning a lot through my wife gardening at home about planting. She's teaching a lot about planting. Amen. The sun still have to strike it. We're trying to start. She said, you know, we have to find where the sun is. We have to find the sun. The Holy Spirit has to strike that seed first. And then that seed begin to grow. Wisdom, understanding is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to spend time and read more of the scripture. We are done. I'm not going to just skip it. But that's what happened. But what happened to us in the message? God has given the opportunity to go throughout the world. Not all of the world, but I've seen so many things of the world. If people just throwing out quotes. You can see people have chat going on, messages going on WhatsApp, but throwing and say, fighting over this, fighting over that, fighting over that. You read it, I say, oh, God have mercy. Amen. Is it what God sent the prophet for? When the angel came to deliver us a message, that what is it what we went off for? Is, and then that's when God began to put on my heart. No, you're not going to Genesis. Because if I go to Genesis, I'm coming here to talk about Hebrew. No. My people need to know knowledge and to have wisdom and to have understanding as they're going nowhere. And the wolves that are saying is to drive them to begin to go after knowledge, to pray for the Holy Ghost, to have wisdom, to pray, to have understanding of my message of the hour. Amen. That's where we're going to take next. And I would like you all, take time, read Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9. Alright? Alright, let's pray. Shalom. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you. And Lord, I thank you, Father, for helping me to bring this to where I brought it today. I know I didn't get to where I have to, but Lord, it's all in your hands. Lord, I pray that may these few words that I was able to share with your children, may they all fall in good grounds. That, Father, may you begin to shine your light on those seeds that begin to grow, to bring fruit and much fruit to glorify your name. Lord, we know the hours are late. We don't have time to play. We've been to church long enough. Now, Father, we must do something. Help us, Lord. Give us revelation. Give us wisdom, understanding of your word. Drive us to desperation, Father. Oh, Lord, help us. We need you. Lord, we cannot just stay here nonchalance. We stay here with nonchalance and slothfulness. And Father, just claiming we are chosen people. We are going to rapture. God, that does not work. We need you. We need your power to come back again to church. We need the Holy Spirit, Father, to begin to turn us around again. We need you, God, to come, Father, to begin to manifest the promises that you give to your prophets. That's what we need at this hour. We play enough. We come to church enough. We pay tithes enough. But God, now we want to see you on the scene. Help us, Lord. Turn our hearts. Turn our hearts, Father. We need you. Give us contrite heart to begin to look for with desperation. And to apply our token and show our tokens. That's my prayer. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Bless the oncoming service. Blessed they may all go well. According to your divine will today. Bless us, bless the minister. Bless your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.